Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Good to see you here today. How do you like that parking lot? That's awesome. They did a lot of work this week, and I really appreciate their hard work, and I know it just made it easier today for us to get in here and be a part of this, and I'm glad for that. And we're glad that you are here today, because I think you're going to be blessed, already been blessed, and we want that blessing to continue. Let me begin today by just encouraging you, as your pastor and your friend, to just tell you that, you know what, you are stronger than you know. You know, God has placed inside of all of us the ability to be better, to be greater than we can imagine. And when we go through difficult times in life, and we're going to learn this from the Apostle Paul this morning, when we go through difficult times in life, we just don't realize the power that God gives us to overcome that from the inside out. Now, let me give you an illustration of that. And this is one of the greatest moments in the history of entertainment, okay? Let me see how many of you remember this particular moment. Watch this.
How old are you, Susan?
I am 47. And that's just one side of me.
Hello? Okay.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by.
Susan Piers.
Without a doubt, that was the biggest surprise I have had in 3 years on this show. When you stood there with that cheeky grin and said, I want to be like Elaine Page, everyone was laughing at you. No one is laughing now. That was stunning, an incredible performance.
Okay, moment of truth. Piers, yes or no?
The biggest yes I have ever given anybody.
Amanda?
Yes, definitely. Brilliant.
Amanda, you too!
Susan Boyle, you can go back to the village with your head held high. It's three S's.
You know, I don't know about you, but every time I watch that clip does something to me. Is it you? I mean, there's something about that moment when it flashes up there and it says, you know, that here's Susan Boyle, 47, unemployed, right? And then she starts belting out that beautiful song. And matter of fact, when I saw Les Mis a couple years ago and they actually sang that song, it's like, that's that song Susan Boyle sang, right? I mean, this woman has become such a hit all around the world. And people, I was actually driving through West Virginia, and there was a billboard about she was coming to town. And it was just incredible to me, because what happened there was that she just shocked everybody. And here's the thing. I think it even shocked her. I think that she realized that there was something inside of her that she didn't realize how great it was. You know, and every time I watch that, it's like I want to tell Simon to stand up. Everybody else was giving her a standing O. He should have done that. He should have done that as well. But here's the point, folks. Outward appearances and inward power doesn't always line up. Right? Outward appearances and inward power does not always line up. The story of this woman, Susan Boyle, she reminds us not to be fooled by common appearances. I think the book of Acts, and particularly the story of the Apostle Paul, teaches us that very same lesson. Because when the church appeared on the human stage, the church looked clumsy, the church looked cheeky, the church looked confusing. And it was discarded and dismissed by many of the first witnesses. But then the church began to sing. And when the church began to sing and began to tell the story of the grace of God, and here we are 2,000 years later, and the story still sings. You know, in this lower story that we've been talking about, think about it. It's full of chaos and confusion and struggles. You know, we have sickness and we have imprisonment. We have all kinds of things going on. And you and I, as Christians, we realize that above all of this chaos of the lower story, God has an upper story. God has a plan that has been executed since the beginning of time. And God is still doing something today. And this upper story is God wants us to be a part of that today in our lower story. And everything that's going on in our lower story is made plain by the upper story. It gives it purpose and meaning when we realize what God is doing. And we may not understand it. We may not realize it. We may not embrace it. But God is doing something. And that brings me to the Apostle Paul. Because you see, folks, I think that the Apostle Paul's life can teach us this. When you read about the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, you know, what do you see? Well, he's the guy that said, don't be anxious about anything, but be thankful for everything. You know, he's the guy that said our citizenship is in heaven. He's the guy that talks about the love of Jesus Christ surpasses all knowledge. He's the one that said, who can separate us from the love of Christ? He's the guy that said there's now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You know what Paul's favorite word was? Over and over and over again, if you read the story this week, you saw it used time and time again. You know what it was? Well, if you're not going to tell me, I'll tell you. You know what it was? It was grace. It was grace. And he perfectly embodied this story of grace that enabled him to withstand such amazing difficulties. Just think about the life of the Apostle Paul and what he went through and the struggles he had and what God enabled him to overcome. Did you know, and maybe you didn't know this, I didn't know this, did you know that the Apostle Paul, His life overlapped for a short time the Emperor Nero. For a short period of time, in the city of Rome, they lived at the same time. It was the seventh decade. Those two famous men, they were in the same city. Think about it. Nero, what was he doing? He was making headlines. What was Paul doing? He wasn't. I mean, here Nero, he was on a throne, and the Apostle Paul was in prison. While Nero was making headlines, Paul was in prison. If Oprah or Larry King or somebody else were to go to that city and get the newsmakers of that day to be on their show, it wouldn't have been the Apostle Paul. It would have been Nero. Nero was a hero and Paul was a zero. Okay? I mean, that was what was going on then. Paul was this, and some people described him as this stoop-shouldered, balding, crooked-nosed, cloudy-eyed old man. He looked like some of you guys here this morning. And Paul kept talking about every chance he got. when he was out of prison, or when he wasn't being beaten or abused, or when he wasn't being second-guessed or ignored. He went into the synagogue and he would talk about Jesus. He was so different than Nero. I mean, if you ask anyone in Rome in the seventh decade who was the greatest and who had the greatest impact on the world, Nero or Paul, everyone would pick Nero. He was married. She was blonde, head turner, beauty. She bathed in donkey milk. Did you ever read about that? 400 donkeys were kept on hand for just that, to produce milk for her to bathe in, to keep her skin the way she wanted it to be. Think about that. I mean, she was pampered. He supposedly liked soft skin women. And that's what he wanted. And whatever Nero wanted, he got. At age 25, he defiled himself by erecting a 120-foot-tall statue of guess who? Of himself. People looked up to Nero, but they looked down on the Apostle Paul. Paul was common. He was described as a bald-headed, bow-legged, small man with a big nose and a scruffy, thick eyebrows that met in the middle. Just a beauty, ladies, okay? His body was probably covered with scars because of all the abuse, and he had this thorn in the flesh that we read about in one of his books. But the point is simply this: his life was not easy. So here's my question, and it pertains to Susan Boyle and me and you, okay? Where did he get his strength from? I mean, how could he go through what he did, the beatings and the mistreatment? You know, how could he be left for dead one day and the next day just be a powerful messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ? How can he go into one city like he did in Philippi and share the gospel and then be thrown in prison because of a misunderstanding? I mean, how could he be in prison one moment and the next moment be singing hymns and leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ? How did he do it? I don't know about you, but I wonder that. I mean, think about your life. I think about my life, and I think about the things that we go through, the things that we do, the difficulties that we have, the problems that arise on a day-to-day basis, and the way that we work through those things. And I wonder, you know, if I could ask him, I would say, Paul, how did you do it? It's because there was something inside of him that was a marvelous, marvelous power. I mean, the New Testament, it records the dynamic life and the deep struggles of the Apostle Paul. He tells us about his tumultuous life. He walks into the major cities of the known Roman world, and he always ends up in trouble. It always ends up going badly. I mean, he worked as a tent maker by day, and by every waking moment, he was an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to be extremely weary by the things that he carried. He wrote books. He traveled. He sat in prison, and he wrote more books, and we treasure his words today. He was both a prophet and a pastor. He was a prophet and a pastor who never got over that the living Jesus Christ had met him on a road to Damascus and had changed his life forever. When Jesus Christ commissioned him as the apostle to the Gentiles on that road, he turned around and he never looked back. He was a spokesman for God's grace. He was a messenger of that grace. Over and over and over again, it was his favorite word. It was grace. But everywhere he went, Paul caused an uproar. And I wonder to myself, and I want you to wonder with me today, where did his strength come from? Well, I think in his writings, you've already read them today, if you've read the story, he gives us the secret, I think, from where his strength comes from. Let me read part of this to you. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 8. Look at what it says. It says, "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." What an amazing phrase. Join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us. He's called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. There's that word over and over and over again. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. This is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is not cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. Think about that, folks. Being rejected and often left for dead. How did Paul face the severe challenges in his life? He gives us the answer here. And I think you and I, we need to know the answer to that. You know why? Because some of us are experiencing those same things. I mean, some of us experience rejection because of our faith. I talked to a young lady recently who told me that she'd really gotten turned on to the Lord Jesus Christ, and her family had pretty much shunned her, all because she had found a deep faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does anybody have that difficulty today? To some degree or another, most of us do. I mean, some things are just crazy in our world today. When I read the story of the Apostle Paul, and I read about how religious people questioned him and mistrusted him, but yet every now and then he had a faithful friend, like people in the New Testament that came, and Barnabas and others who came alongside to encourage him. You know, he would be talking about his faith in Christ, and all of a sudden his friends would need to lower him down through a window because people were coming to actually kill him. You know, obviously his family and others had turned their back on him. You don't have to go very far to realize that his life became crazy when he became a believer in Jesus. And we, like him, we can feel that isolation that comes from being devoted to Jesus. We all have storms of some kind, relational storms, financial storms, personal storms. And while in a Roman prison, Paul wrote to Timothy, revealing the secret of that endurance. And that's what I just read for you. And the secret of that endurance was simply this. He understood that his life was anchored to a hope that was not of this world. Paul's life was anchored to a hope that was not of this world. His existence, his future, his security did not depend on an emperor. It did not depend on Nero. It depended on the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we need to understand that is true. Sometimes I don't think we get that. Many years ago, I was in the hospital room of an older lady that was near death. And as I got up to leave, and I was going to pray with this sweet old soul of the kingdom, and she said to me, she said, Pastor, she said, just pray that my life could just easily slip from this life into life eternal. She said, I am ready. I am close, and I'm ready to be with Jesus. And she said, Pastor, just pray that this life could be finished, and I could start my life of eternity with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I prayed that way. I took her sweet hand and I said, God, you know, this sweet soul understands that life is almost over, and I just pray that you'll just welcome her into your loving arms. And I said, Amen. And I walked out and I met three of her children on the outside. And those three children said, Pastor, we got to pray. We got to pray that our mother will be healed. And all of a sudden, they were asking me to pray much different than what she had just asked me to pray. And I realized something that day that I want to share with you right now. She understood something that they didn't. Her hope was not in a physical body. Her hope was not in what she had now. Her hope was in Jesus. I think she realized something that they needed to realize. And I think here today, we need to realize something as well. And that as our hope is not in a government, our hope is not in an emperor, our hope is not in any kind of financial situation, our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the secret of why Paul had the strength that he did. The second reason is that he entrusted his life into the hands of God. He knew that no man held his life in their hands. He was like Jesus in the sense that Jesus, no one killed Jesus on the cross. He willingly gave his life. And even though the Apostle Paul was near the end of his life here and he was going to be beheaded in a Roman prison before too long, he knew that his life was in the hands of God. And the application for me and you today is that we need to identify with Paul. That we need to identify because the many things we feel in life today, many times we feel like nothing in life is going right. Well, what's your hope in? What is your life anchored to? Who do you trust? What is your life entrusted in? Whose hands is your life in? Paul knew. And you and I need to know as well. Here's the other thing. And I think this is so key that the Apostle Paul and what his life can teach us in relation to we have something inside of us that we really don't know how strong it is. And that is that he ended well. Paul's life ended well. Paul understood that it wasn't just about starting well. It was about ending well. Life isn't just one quarter long or one inning long. Life is a long marathon of a race. And a lot of times we start so well. But then how do we end? You know, I remember back when Arlene and I first started dating. I think I've told you the story. My wife had a special edition black and gold T-top Trans Am. And she let me borrow it for Arlene and I's first date. It was awesome. Arlene will tell you the story. I drove up. She said she was jumping up and down with her sister in the living room when she looked out the window and saw what I was driving. Now, she found out later that I was mostly like Jesus then. I walked everywhere. I didn't even have a car. Okay? But I'll tell you this. That car got me two things. It got me a first kiss, and it got me a second date. Okay? Because I didn't even tell her that car wasn't mine until the second date. You know, I wanted her to get the full effect of my wonderful personality before she understood that. Okay? That was how our relationship started. But listen, folks, it's not just about how it starts. Don't you want to end well? I mean, I know it doesn't matter how great, how awesome, how stupendous, how energetic, how, you know, enthusiastic you start if you don't end well. I mean, you can run 4 minute miles in a marathon for 25 miles, but then if you fall over dead and don't finish, that's what everybody remembers. It's not just about the starting, it's about the finishing. And the Apostle Paul was so awesome in this. He ended so well. Matter of fact, he tells us how he looked at the end of his life. You know, you think about where did his strength come from that enabled him to withstand everything that he did? My second question is, man, how did he end so well? Look at what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. He says, he's talking to Timothy, a young preacher, and he says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." That passage of Scripture is absolutely awesome to me. I mean, one, he knows he's dying. I mean, he knows the time of my departure is near. And what does he say? "I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith." What he's saying is that, you know what? I started well, but I'm finishing strong. You know, Jesus appeared to me on the road to Damascus, and he commissioned me as an apostle to the Gentiles, and my life was a grand series of hardships and difficulties and trials and tribulations. But my strength came from who I had my hope in. And now because of that, I'm going to end well. At the end, I'm going to fight a good fight. I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to keep my faith. And because of that, I have a crown of righteousness. And then look at this. I love this because he not only talks about what he gets out of this, but he talks about what you and I get out of this too. He said, because I'm going to get an award, and not only to me, but to all those who have longed for his appearing. That's me and you. See, and it all hinges on this idea that we need to finish well. Paul's new life began on the road to Damascus, and it ended on a chopping block in a prison cell in Rome. Now think about this. Nero, I told you earlier that he and Nero overlapped for a little while in Rome. Nero, at the age of 29, was lonely and paranoid. His second wife killed his first wife, and Nero kicked his pregnant second wife, and she died. And 4 years, after Paul's death, Nero committed suicide. You see, they would have said that Nero was the hero and Paul was a zero, but Nero did not end well. Paul ended well. Nero was no hero. Paul still impacts us to this day. Matter of fact, let me tell you three things here. Number one, you cannot find a cathedral anywhere in the world named after Nero. There's no Saint Nero Cathedral anywhere. Okay? Anybody here named Paul? Raise your hand. Any Paul? There's a Paul right there. Yeah, we had a couple of Pauls. We even had a Pauline in first service. Here's a Paul. Here's a Paul there. Here's my brother Paul, my other brother Paul. Okay? Think about that. You ever thought about, wouldn't you have loved to have been named Nero? Right? Why? I mean, do you ever know a kid named Nero? Now, there may be some idiot out there somewhere now that might do that. But nobody ever names their kid Nero. There's no Saint Nero cathedrals. But you can find cathedrals built to the memory of this godly man all over the world. Why? Because he ended well. He knew what his hope was in. Secondly, was that he told the story of grace. Over and over and over again. You know, when Paul told his story, it was a story of grace. Remember I said to the, in his one epistle, and he talked about, he said, you know, the things that I know I ought to do, I don't do, and the things that I know I shouldn't do, I do all the time. But then he said, now there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You see, he understood that he had what he had because of the grace of God, the story of grace. And it's a story that you and I tell over and over and over again. Your life and my life is a story about grace. It's a story about what God has done in saving us and why he saved us. And only the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, has been given that story of grace. How do we tell the story of grace? Well, Paul tells us, it was on there just a minute ago. He tells us the story of grace. He tells us that we tell the story of grace by fighting a good fight, by keeping the faith, by finishing the race. You see, we tell that story of grace, not just what God did for us then, but what God is continuing to do for us now. That's the story of grace. And Paul told it over and over, over again. And then the third thing, and I think this is so crucial about the Apostle Paul, was does God have a hold of you? You know, Paul tells his story on the road to Damascus, and it's the story of how God got a hold of him and how he was never the same. God got a hold of him. And when you read the writings of the Apostle Paul, you'll see it over and over and over again. He'll talk about how God's got a hold of his life, how Jesus commands his attention, how Jesus Christ is always there, and that there's no goodness in him except the goodness of Christ. It's all because God has a hold of him. So I ask you, does God have a hold of you? Because if God has a hold of you, He will make the same difference in your life as he made in the Apostle Paul's life. Are you fighting the good fight? Are you finishing the course? Are you running the race? Does God have a hold of you? Because in reality, what's going on in your life and mine today is simply that God wants us to continue this retelling of this story of grace. And I just want to encourage you that you have the ability within you to tell that story. I don't know if you noticed, but when I showed you the clip from Susan Boyle, she sings the song, and everybody's like going nuts. But what does she do? She walks off the stage. She's like, okay. And they're like, no, go back. And I'm just here to tell you that God is saying, don't walk off the stage. Go back. Because you are stronger than you can imagine. And even though in the lower story there's chaos, there's confusion, there's struggles, there's sickness and imprisonment, and sometimes we feel like that's all there is, but the Christian realizes that above all, that there is this upper story, that God has a plan before time, and that plan is continuing today in our lives. And as we let that upper story invade our lower story, that everything in our story is fitting into this perfect plan, and we may not understand it, but like Paul, we can say that this is for God's glory. The invitation from Paul was to enter into suffering for the glory of God. And folks, I'm here to tell you that that's a mindset that not many people reach in this world today. How did Paul survive the stonings, the whippings, the prison imprisonments, the betrayals, the abandonment? This question may be more than an academic one, because you're wondering how you can do it. And I'm here to tell you that he gives us the way. We just simply have to know who our hope is in and allow that hope to take hold of our life. So don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened. Most of us, probably all of us, we look awfully ordinary. But so did Paul. But he's the one we remember today. And God can use us in that very same way. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this awesome time to share together. God, teach us a valuable lesson from this dear man's life today. Teach us, Lord, what's important. Teach us what we should hope in. Help us, Lord, to have the ability to just relinquish our life to you, allow you to take hold of us, and to never look back. So, Father, I pray that as we sing this awesome, awesome worship song, Lord, of how you are our strength, that you are our tower, that it's in you that we trust. I pray, Father, that we can leave this room today as the Apostle Paul's of our time. A dedicated, Father, to allow you to work through all of our difficulties, all of our troubles, all of our struggles, that we can continue to tell this story of grace to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number 4, christ.com.